Well, let me begin this evening by telling you a little bit about myself and why it is that I want to talk about what we're going to talk about, because I think it's good to set the context of what brought me to our theme tonight. I am the daughter of Salvation Army officers. I am the sister of a Salvation Army officer. I am the wife of a Salvation Army officer. I am a Salvation Army officer. I am the mother of... No, sorry. The chain breaks there. Although, there's hope, I'm not sure. But I am the mother of 3 beautiful children. I wanted to bring my family. They could not come in the suitcase with me, so this was the closest I could do, the best I could do. On the far left, no, wait a minute, whatever, the end, no. The far right. My far right is my son, Jacob. He's young. He's gorgeous. He's eligible. He's the sweetest. He's going to make some woman a very, very good husband. That's my Jacob. My girls always say that he's my favorite because I always brag about him. Next to him is my beautiful daughter, Megan. She's 23. Jacob's 20. Megan's 23, actually, the day after I get home. After I get home from this, I have to throw a birthday party for her. Then my handsome husband, David. We've been married for 29 years, I think it is. I'm losing track. Next is my daughter, Jessica, and beside her is her handsome husband, Brendan. And the two of them... Well, Jessica doesn't look that skinny anymore because her tummy is going like this. Because she's going to give me my very first grandchild in about 6 weeks. So I can add to the list of names that I go by, Grandma. Actually, my daughter sent me a picture the other day. She saw the pillow, this pillow that said Glamma. G-L-A-M-A. And it's for a grandma who thinks she's way too young to be a grandma. So I'm thinking I might go for that name because I'm not feeling like I want to feel like I'm old enough to be a grandma, but I'm going to be a grandma. So as you can see from this picture, actually, ladies, I got to tell you, I love to walk when I talk, and this stage only goes so far. So if you see me going farther, because I will get into what I'm talking about, put up a hand or something. I got to stop at this place. I'm afraid I'm going to fall off that stage. I'm blessed. I am greatly, greatly blessed by the family, by the ministry, by the life that God has given to me. But let me tell you this. In the past 8 months, I have been through a transition. Let me rephrase it. I'm in the middle still of the biggest transition of my life. Because last June, our appointments change in June, I got moved to a new appointment. I'm looking for a music stand. Can I steal this music stand? Is there another? Can I just borrow that music stand? Could I do that? Sorry. This is just a little bit too high for me. I'm a little short. Can I borrow that? No, I'll give it back. No, up a little. Just a little bit. This one's a bit too high. Are you bearing with me, ladies? It won't go any higher. Okay, one's too high, one's too low, but I'd rather go down there. There we go. Okay. Last June in our change, we got transferred. We've been 23 years at a core, and last June we got an appointment change, and we're now... See, I thought you were thinking I was going off the edge there. We got changed to being in pastoral services, actually, in the office where Robin and Howard were. So, 23 years as a core officer, 13 in the last core. So even though I knew it was coming, we were consulted. We felt very led by God into this particular area of ministry. I knew it. I was prepared, and yet I wasn't. Because it has been an enormous change and transition for us. And I have discovered 2 things about transition in the past 8 months. Number one, I don't do them easily, and I don't do them quickly. Thus, here I am, 8, 9 months later, and I'm still saying I'm in the middle of a transition. So I don't do them easily. And secondly, I discovered last August that I needed a game plan to figure out how to transition well. And that came to me at the end of an unforgettable day. I got up at 5:45 to run. I love to run. And if I'm going to be at THQ on time, I got to run at 5:45. I went for my run. I came back. I did my devotions. And it was about 7:15. Had you asked me at 7:15 what kind of a day I was having, I would have said I'd had a fantastic day. But then I had to walk down the stairs. And I walked into my kitchen. And ladies, I know that some of you can identify with this. In my kitchen sink, dirty dishes. In my dishwasher, clean dishes. I live in a house with three other adults. You would have thought that one of them maybe would have done a little bit of maneuvering of the dishes, but no. Anybody have family members like that? And so I will tell you that very begrudgingly, I started to move the dishes. And clearly my devotions that day was not about attitude, because my attitude really wasn't very good. I wasn't happy about what I was having to do. And I began to bang and put things away. And then we started all get our lunches, trying to get our lunch stuff together. And one of the things of transition that I've had to go through, I was talking about it in the car driving up. I've moved from a relatively nice size house into a teeny, teeny, little weeny house, which I actually really love the house. I love the area, and I think it's a great house for two people. But there's four of us. And so let me tell you, last summer we had all kinds of issues about how to cope in this house. You cannot open the dishwasher and the fridge at the same time. You can't. You can barely move in the kitchen at the same time. And I've got three, if you saw the picture, there they are there. Very tall. I am the shrimp in the family. And three of the people that I live with are all introverts. They all want space. And we ain't got no space in the house. So let me tell you, last summer we had some very, very anxious moments. And this morning it was like that. On top of that, Jacob and Megan, they worked at a golf course. And we have moved into the center of Toronto. We had just previously been just north of Toronto in a suburb. They work in a golf course up there. Now, isn't it nice that both of my kids work at the same golf course? But do you think they work the same shifts? No. And so every morning last summer, as we were in the midst of this transition of moving down, we had to figure out every morning, okay, who's going where and how are they going to get there? What vehicle? Who's going to drive them where, when? And what happened most days, which this particular day was a thing, Dave and I would end up riding our bikes to THQ because we lived quite close to THQ. Now, I don't mind riding a bike. I love bike riding. But what it meant was at the last minute, I was packing everything into my knapsack to make sure that I had everything ready to go in order when I got to work. And so let me tell you that even before I left the house this day, I'd had enough stress for the whole day. I kind of wanted to go back to bed, but it was only 8 o'clock. So I go to the office. It's a new job. It's new people, new learning curve, new responsibilities. I had to wear new clothes. I'd come from a corps where I wasn't having to wear my full uniform all the time. So I was adjusting to all of these things. And I got to work, and there was all these emails coming at me, and I got handed a little, that little policy book. And I was suggested to read through it. And I was going through all this stuff. And I don't know about you, but when I enter into a new situation, sometimes my insecurities rear their ugly head. And in my head, this thing started going, what are you doing? Why are you here? Why did you leave that core you love so much? What are you doing here? You can't do this. You're not Robin, and Dave's not Howard. How are we ever going to do this? And my head was going like this. And I got home at 5 o'clock, and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to go to bed. But I had to make supper. My two kids came to the dinner table, both with these big issues, what they wanted to talk about. One was making really good decisions. The other one, not so sure. So there was stress at the dinner table. I wasn't liking the decisions that particular child was telling me that they wanted to make. And in the middle of that, my father, my aging father, retired officer, he announces at the dinner time that night, oh, he wants to move. And he wants to move into the retired officer's residence. And he said that, and I said, Dad, do you see the boxes all around my house? I'm in the middle of downsizing myself. How am I going to do that for you now? Because my father moving meant I was doing the moving. I was doing the downsizing. I was going to have to go through all my mother's stuff. And I was like, Dad, right now you want to do this? Yeah, I want to do it. I quickly took him home. By the time I laid my head on that pillow, I was spent. Anybody ever had a day like that? Please. Thank you. So many changes all at once, and I didn't know what to do. My home, my ministry, my family, my church family, this faith community that I love so much. My doctor had to change. My hairdresser had to change. Didn't have the grocery store around me that I liked. All these things were changing, and plus, can I say this in a room full of women? You better just plug your ears back there. Last summer, menopause hit me like a ton of bricks. Hot flash after hot flash. I said, really, God, now? Does this really, this change have to be happening in my life as well as all this other stuff? I was beside myself. And so I concluded at the end of that day last August, I needed a game plan. I was faced with this transition, and I thought, I can do this well, or I can really bomb at this. And I thought, I got to figure out how to transition well. And the more I got thinking about it, because I was in conversation with Jan about what to speak about here, I wrote her and I said, you know, I'm in the middle of this transition. I got to figure out how I'm going to cope. And I realized that I'm not really anyone special when it comes to transition, because life is filled with transition. I'm not the only one in this room going through a transition, right? Anybody else feeling that there's changes happening around them? Yeah. So I thought, okay, I'm not the only one that has to figure this out. There's a philosopher who once said, the only thing constant about life is change. Everything is changing all around us, all of the time. Our cell phones, oh my goodness, you have a cell phone for 6 months, my kids want a new cell phone. The computer, I think it should last for a lifetime for the amount of money you pay for it. But you know, 1 year, 2 years down the road, oh, it's obsolete, you got to get a new one. Things are changing all the time. Fashion changes, hair colors change. Our bodies are constantly changing. I'm discovering that. Our vocabulary changes. We've just had a political change in our country. And oh, the conversations that have happened. Have you kept up with that, Tracy? We have a young, hunky prime minister, and everybody loves the look of this new prime minister. We're not sure how it's going to go, but there's all these changes that are happening in our country. And so everybody has to deal with change. Yes? Yes. And the thing about transition that I think about, this is how I, in my very small pea-sized brain, this is how I think about transition. Transition is this process that we go from moving from what was to what will be from what is. It's a process of moving from what was to what will be from what is. There's this past, present, and future tense of transition. And the thing is that our future is often dependent on how well we handle transition in the present. And so we're here in the present, ladies, in the midst of transition. This is what brings me to what I want to talk about this weekend. Transitions. And how do we do in the present, today, now, this weekend, how do we process? How do we go through transition well? So I got thinking about it. And generally speaking, and some of you might correct me afterwards, this is how I look at it. I look at there's three main types of transitions. There's these natural transitions that we go through, these natural life things. We're single, we get married, we have a child, we have two children, we're child bearing, then we're shooing them away, and then we're dealing with... There's these natural transitions of life that we go through. And I'm in the midst of one of those transitions right now. Then there's secondly, the second type of transition that I want to talk about this weekend are those unexpected transitions. They're not natural. Now, unexpected transitions sometimes can be really good. Something can land in our lap, something totally out of the blue that we weren't expecting. And sometimes, yes, they can be good. Often, they're not so good. loss of a job, loss of good health, loss of a relationship, whether it's divorce or separation or just loss of a relationship because of conflict that we're dealing with. There's financial cutbacks, and so all of a sudden life has to change because the money's not what it once was. There's political changes. There's church changes. There's denominational changes. There's all these changes and things that come at us that we have no control over. Tragedies, car accidents, these unexpected things that throw our life into a tailspin. Those are the unexpected transitions. And thirdly, I look at transitions as what I call disciple must do transitions. These are the kinds of transitions, ladies, that don't naturally come to us. They don't unexpectedly land in our lap. These are transitions that we must choose as followers of Jesus Christ. So here's the question that I want us to ponder over and reflect upon in our time together this week, and is, what is the key to doing transition well? What are the doors that we need to go in, or maybe the doors we need to close in order to transition well? And I want to look this weekend at what God's Word has to say about this. Quite frankly, I don't really have any great ideas, but God's Word is the truth that I look to, and it's the truth I want us to share together in this weekend. And so this is what we're going to do. Tomorrow morning, we're going to look to natural transitions, and we're going to look to Hagar's story in Genesis 16, how the natural transitions affected her and Sarah and Abraham. In our second session tomorrow, we're going to be looking at a little girl from 2 Kings chapter 5. She found herself in a very unexpected transition. We're going to look to see how she handled that. And thirdly, on Sunday, we're going to look at a letter that Paul wrote to a young guy by the name of Timothy, and how Paul exhorted Timothy to choose transition. And I think as we approach our time together, and isn't God incredible? Because the very passage of Scripture that was shared, which I didn't tell Angela this, but she recited Psalm 121, and that's what I want you to look to for just a minute, because this is the psalm with which we're just going to look at and have this as our overall perspective in looking at this subject of transition. And Psalm 121, ladies, it's hot in here. And I need you to stay awake for only a few minutes. Don't worry, I'm not doing a whole big sermon on this text, so breathe a sigh of relief. But out of reverence to the Word of God, would you stand with me? Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot sleep. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. For the Lord watches over you, ladies. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun, as hot as it is today, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. He will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Be seated. Now, here's the thing about this psalm, very, very quickly, ladies, because I know it's hot and you're tired and it's been a long day. Let me just say this. I have always loved this psalm. I memorized this psalm many, many years ago, meditated on it often. But what I used to think about this psalm was, I think, well, I lift my eyes to the hills. And I used to think, lift your eyes to the hills. Mountains are beautiful. I was in the Blue Mountains the other day. I lifted my eyes at those hills and I thought, wow, isn't God an incredible creator? But when I studied this psalm a little bit, I discovered there was a little twist here that I didn't quite understand. Because this is actually what we call the Psalm of Ascent. There are 15 Psalms of Ascent that we find in the book of Psalms. And these were psalms, songs, that the Hebrew people used to sing as they ascended up to Jerusalem. Thus, they're called the Psalms of Ascent. Three times a year, there were these yearly festivals. And the Hebrews, the Jewish people, had to travel up to Jerusalem for these festivals. But they never traveled alone. They always traveled in convoy. That's because they had to travel over the hills. And in the hills, there was a lot to be afraid of. There was danger in the hills. There were wild animals in the hills. There were robbers. There were thieves in the hills. And so as they started on their journey, as they lifted their eyes to the hills, initially it was fear that would overcome them. They were afraid of what was going to be in the hills. But here was the thing. In order to get to Jerusalem, they had to go over the hills. They had to go over the mountains. They couldn't go around them. They couldn't go through them. They couldn't avoid them. They couldn't go the other way. Jerusalem was that way. Jerusalem was up on the top. And so they had no choice but to go over the mountain, to go over the hills. And so as they lifted their eyes to the hills, it was fear that overcame them at first. And then they realized, oh, wait a minute. I don't have to fear the hills, for God is the creator of these hills. And so they lifted their eyes, and then they changed their focus. God, as their creator, the maker of heaven and earth, he would get them over the hills, for he was going to watch them going to Jerusalem, and he was going to watch them coming back from Jerusalem. It was when their focus went from their fear to their creator that it all changed. Ladies, transitions, they're a part of life. We can't avoid them, can't go around them, can't pretend they don't exist. There's this mountain in front of us, and the thing is, we got to get to the other side. And we got to go over that mountain. We got to face that change. We got to go over that fear, whatever it is, in order to get to the other side. And so my prayer is for us this weekend, ladies, that we will lift our eyes, not to the fear of the transition. We will lift our eyes to the Creator who wants to help us transition well. And it's my prayer this weekend as we look at these different texts, as we look to Hagar, and as we look to the little servant girl, and as we look to Paul's letter to Timothy, that our eyes will be on the Creator. Not on the trouble in the transition, but on the Creator. And ultimately, it is my prayer, ladies, that you will come to discover, as I am continuing to discover, that transitions, as difficult as they can be sometimes, transitions under God's guidance are doors of opportunity for God to do his best work. Let me say that again. Transitions, when under God's guidance, are doors of opportunity for God to do his best work in our lives. And ladies, how I pray that our eyes and our minds will be opened to that door this weekend to discover that God wants to do his best work in our lives. And Dr. Seuss, I love the way he says it. He's no theologian, How many people know Dr. Seuss? I love the way he says it. Oh, the places we'll go. See, when we go through those transitions, the places that we will go, that God wants us to go, will you humor me as I read this to you? I love this story. Now, this is about graduation, but we're going to just sort of change the context because it really, really fits. Congratulations, Dr. Seuss says. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the guy who'll decide where to go. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some, you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And you may not find any you want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen, and frequently do, to people as brainy and footsy as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along, you'll start happening too. Oh, the places will go through those doors. You're on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, but sadly it's true, the bang-ups, the hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly by, you'll be left in the lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself, it's not easily done. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. That's exactly what it says here, ladies. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can I lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right and three quarters, or maybe not quite? Or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind-making upper to make up his mind. You can get so confused that you'll start in to race down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish wild space, headed, I fear, towards a most useless place, the waiting place, for people just waiting for the train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting for the Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig of curls, or another chance. Everyone's just waiting. No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and staying. You'll find bright places where boom bands are playing. Maybe there'll be Salvation Army bands. With banners flip-flopping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky, ready because you're that kind of guy. Oh, the places you'll go. There is fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame, you'll be famous as famous can be, with the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Except when they don't, because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too. Games you can't win because you play against you. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that will scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that will scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though the enemies prowl. On you will go up a many frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. There might be one sitting beside you here tonight, ladies. So be sure when you step, step with care and great tact. And remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot and your left. And you will succeed. Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kids, ladies, you'll move mountains. So, be your name Buxbem or Bixie or Bray or Mordecai Ali Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get up on your way. Ladies, your mountain is waiting. And oh, the places you and I can go as we go through that door that God has for us this week. And Father, we come into your presence so thankful that we can confidently read Psalm 121, knowing, God, that as we lift our eyes to the hills, as we lift our eyes to the fear, as we lift our eyes to the transitions that are before us, that you are bigger than all of that, that you always come through, that you are our God who promises to protect us and watch our coming and going both now and forevermore. And so, Father, I pray that this weekend, as we unpack some texts, as we dig deeper into your word, help us, Father, each one, to figure out how this applies to us so that we can transition well. And Father, I am completely dependent on your Holy Spirit here, because I don't know most of these ladies before me. I don't know the transitions before them. But I come boldly before your throne because you know. And you know the doors that need to be opened. You know the keys that need to be discovered this weekend. And how I pray, Father, that through your word, you would open the doors and reveal the keys to each one of us here today. Because God, we know you got places that you want us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.